Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this program is called World Watchers. It's broadcast number 709. It's July the 8th, 1985. It is a one-hour discussion of political events in the United States and around the world. I got a letter from a longtime listener who asked me if I would answer some of his questions on the air, and one of them was, this is in quotes what he wrote, "My first thought and question to you, pardon me, what good does it do to blame Hitler for what Americans are doing or for what our government is doing?" He said, "I'm glad that you call attention to the fact that liberty-loving Americans must be vigilant and take actions to see that what is happening or has happened in El Salvador, Chile, and Argentina doesn't happen in, here in the United States, the death squads and so forth, but it could happen in America." And he asked me why I continually referred to the Nazis involved in these particular actions. Well, the reason I discuss those matters isn't that I blame Adolf Hitler for any single thing alone. Hitler is only one person who was put in by the multinational corporations, by the American and British banks, by the industries we have, really, like Ford Motor Company, General Motors, ITT. The only reason the Americans went after Hitler was when he was bombing England and invading England. If he had gone all the way to Russia, no matter how many people he had killed, and conquered Russia, he would have been our ally, just as China is our ally today. Hitler was America, and when we saw that he couldn't take Russia, when the troops couldn't take Russia, then we began to make arrangements from 1943 on through Alan Dulles and William Donovan and John Foster Dulles out of offices in Bern, Switzerland, and in, of course, through the United States, through Rockefeller Center with William Stevenson from British Intelligence. We made the arrangements to incorporate all the Nazi techniques and the persons who were working for Adolf Hitler into our post-war policies, our foreign policies, our economic policies. That's when that British-American-Canadian corporation was formed. It took several years, and it was set up by May 1945, the same week the war was over, to rebuild, rearm the German munitions plants. So our intelligence community altered from what was supposedly an innocent OSS that was making deals with the Vatican, with the Nazis, such as SS Karl Wolff and Heinrich Himmler, and Hitler's top agents. Our OSS became the CIA with the help of Hitler's very top agent, Reinhard Gehlen, who went back to Germany to be in charge of all German intelligence under the BND. So what you see in the news today is the result of the merger of these two countries. I wrote about that in my first article, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped?, of the wedding of Reinhard Gehlen to Alan Dulles, and that we are the result and the product of that particular merger, and that the events we see taking place today can all be linked directly back to those particular people and when they set up their particular training camps, their ideas, their hospitals, their experimentation centers. America is Germany. It's more Germany every day, and all you have to do is read the papers to see that. I did promise to go back to Simon Wiesenthal Part 2 this week and the Joseph Mengele story. We have enough outline to share. I have for the next 5 or 6 weeks, or maybe for the entire year. But there are events taking place in the news this week that I want to share with you, as many as I have time in the hour, that have their roots to those very things that I'm trying to illustrate every week, the merger of the German intelligence with the American intelligence and with their teaching us their tricks. And the British had some very good tricks themselves, controlling Bombay and Singapore and Ceylon and India, all of India, not just Bombay, but Southeast Asia and South Africa. They had a few tricks up their empire sleeves, and we have used them and made America an empire, a multinational empire, and the countries that don't go along with us or we don't like, we effect a coup to make sure that they change their attitude and policies. Now, so the American Bar Association is having their meeting this week, and after a call at the White House and by the National Security Council, they dropped their suggestion that the United States be involved in the jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice, We were afraid that they would slap our wrists for our policies in Nicaragua, which are terrorism that George Bush and Ronald Reagan don't address themselves to, particularly as Reagan spoke to that body of lawyers, 300,000 lawyers in Washington. And the other aspect that the national security got them to drop was regarding free flow of information across the American border, that aliens that are invited to the United States to speak should be able to participate no matter what their ideas from the past, and the right of Americans to travel abroad in spite of their past political beliefs, which the president doesn't happen to approve of. They should be able to go. We're very strict on those things. Mrs. Salvador Allende couldn't come to Berkeley to speak last year, but the fascists can flow in and out whenever they want. Those things were dropped, and the National Security Council was set up by Reinhard Gehlen and the Nazis instructing America. We never had one of those things before World War II, and then they come in to the lawyers and say, look, for national security reasons, you 300,000 lawyers can't take a position on these matters, American aggression and the world court, or curtailing the freedom of speech. And those are two symptoms of the Nazi regime, which America has adopted and is getting stronger about. Now, I'm going to run down some very important news stories that took place just this past week. CNN News carried July the 7th. It was a 12 o'clock noon broadcast. I didn't see it in any American paper or evening news, naturally, the network news afterwards, that Mr. Aja, testifying in Rome, said that he lied about the apartment he stayed in, that he visited. He was supposed to visit Mr. Antonov's apartment in Rome. He said he never was inside the apartment. The apartment building complex was owned by Father Felix Morleon. He probably still owns it. He is part of the OSS and the CIA and Vatican intelligence, so therefore he would know the floor plan. And the reason Aja was so knowledgeable about the apartment the Bulgarian Antonov rented was because the owners and managers or whoever it is that runs that complex, directed by the CIA, could give him the nth detail about the apartment, and he testified that he had never been there. Another article from Il Mondo, there were two from Italy, Il Mondo and El Espresso. Those were obtained by Ted Rubenstein and David Emery. We don't get them in this country. Il Mondo, April the 8th, 1985, has an article about Father Morleon and his organization, the Pro Dio, that fascist group that finances the far right and links to the Vatican and other areas, in the association of Father Morleon to Herbert Hunt, the relative of H.L. Hunt, and the Italian-American connections to the Dallas Millionaire, and the efforts to set up large amounts of money for youth organizations in South and Central America. I'm going to do more on that. I just want to call attention to it now, and I'll get back to these later. This isn't a coverage of these articles. I just want you to know what's gushing out in the news and why I put off the Wiesenthal thing for just this week. Another member of the Hunt family's name came into the news just this week, Ward Hunt, another member of the H.L. Hunt family and the Dallas tycoon, and his association with Princess Michael of Kent. Her name was surfaced when Ronald Reagan was going to Bitburg because her father is SS, was, he passed away, Gunter von Reibnitz, R-E-I-B-N-I-T-Z. He played an important role with Richard von Weizsäcker's father, the president of current president of Germany, the two of them in the overthrow of Czechoslovakia. So it came out this week that she's allegedly having an affair or meeting with Mr. Hunt, Ward Hunt, and it may be very political. It doesn't even have to be sexual, but the British monarchy, the daughter of the SS family, and meeting in Texas and other places with Ward Hunt. So Herbert Hunt is linked in the Italian news this week to Pro Dio, Father Morleon, and the CIA, and Ward Hunt is linked to Princess Michael of Kent, the daughter of SS von Reibnitz, who was the associate with the father of the current president of Germany in overthrowing a democracy, which, as I say, was Czechoslovakia. L'Espresso, the Italian newspaper, May 19th, 1985, has a story about that apartment where Antonov lived. That is the only written account of it that I've seen so far. As I say, nothing in the American press. It was translated, and the gist of it is that Father Felix Morlian, with his CIA connections, leads the trail away from Bulgaria, the Bulgarian trail, going to the Italian and American Secret Service. The Italian Secret Service, the SMI, part of Licio Gelli, and the Masonic Lodge connections were grooming Zsa on blaming the Soviets and the Bulgarians, which he's been talking about. And in Italy, there are these articles about the RCIA and Father Morlian. And, of course, that goes right again to the Dallas connections and to the Kennedy assassination. These people have links going back to the Kennedy assassination. In Rebel magazine, November 1963, when I wrote about the murder of John Kennedy and the Nazi connections to John Kennedy, I wrote about Father Felix Morlian of the Vatican. That's the November 1963 Rebel. If you don't have it, I have reprints that you can send for. Most of you should have it because these names will surface over and over again that I used in this small article. One small item on the Mengele family. Mengele's son keeps lucrative rights. The magazine rights he said he would give to the victims of the Holocaust, to Auschwitz, and to another concentration camp. But just today in the news, he is about to make movies about his father, television. There's already a $500,000 deal. He can make millions of dollars, and then the attorney, Fritz Steinecker, doesn't have to put money in the Zurich account anymore. The money can go to Joseph Mengele, and Rolf Mengele doesn't have any agreement to turn over to the victims of the camps any more than what the magazine had. But he is getting a hero's applause, and the bucks are rolling in for Rolf Mengele to show you the kind of response in Germany and around the world to his daddy's story. Another story having to do with death squads and United States terrorism, and I stress terrorism in this particular broadcast with a big T. The whole thing is about American-directed terrorism is because of Ronald Reagan's speech to the bar associations and today, and the way that they cover up and obey everything he tells them. It is so disgusting. This story has to do with giving entire probation to three people who were taking $6 million from the United States to death squads in El Salvador. The title of the article is Pair Given Probation in Attempt to Take $6 Million from the United States. It's from a friend who mails me Houston Post stories, June the 13th, 1985. Roberta Dobison, the head of the death squads down in El Salvador, and the close associate of the Arena Party, A-R-E-N-A, was wanting to get back into power at the last election, and just before the election, two people were caught on a plane leaving Miami, Francisco Beach, B-E-C-H-E, and Oscar Rodriguez, and the Miami pilot, Gus Mistrelles, were taking a huge hunk of money to America to effect a coup again in El Salvador or throw over the elections and make sure Dobison got in. And then he could rearrange, as he does so nicely, those notorious death squads. Well, they were arrested in Miami with the money. The two men involved were put on probation. It also involved drugs and narcotics. And George Bush, of course, it was to be the big king of the drug investigations, his task squad. The newspapers this week were filled with facts about the task squads being a total fraud. They didn't work at all. So now he's not got a new job, George Bush, in charge of terrorism. The president asked him today, or at the law association meeting their convention, George Bush in charge of terrorism. So they got off, and some more narcotics traffic and money for guns and killing. The courts get the probation and no problem at all. The massive violence that I fear is caused and surrounded about Henry Kissinger, Fritz Kramer, the secret Fritz Kramer always, but Kissinger particularly. And every week, I think, no matter what I broadcast about, I have to have a Kissinger watch because these articles just keep piling up. Mary McGrory sends a Mercury, June 26, 1984. Also syndicated in Maine newspapers, the Washington Post has a large story. Kissinger is the one who shouldn't be on TV. This has to do with the hostage crisis when Kissinger associates and the CIA and the Defense Department were blaming television for prolonging the hostage crisis, whereas they were actually escalating their visibility. They can talk, Mr. Klein of the CIA and Gene Kirkpatrick of the traveling embassy from every department of the government now on a appointed position by Ronald Reagan to determine where atomic bombs go. Henry Kissinger every day on the nightly news. William Colby, Arnold DeBorschgrave, Michael Ledeen, John Reese. All the experts came out of the woodwork to do massive television broadcasts on the hostage crisis. That's one reason I think the crisis is so created, is to get you used to their faces and to their poisonous pens. And she was saying that Kissinger shouldn't, it's a marvelous article, I'll go back to it later, is the one that shouldn't be on TV. Now, I've talked about the proposal to change the Constitution to make Henry Kissinger president. That first came up on tape number 574, December the 6th, 1982. There was a bill proposed at the House of Representatives. Well, this week, the Northern California Jewish Bulletin, June 24th, has an article, the Constitutional Convention Bill only needs two more states for a resolution to pass it. For the new Constitutional Convention, they need 32 states to ratify it, and 30 have done it already. So when those two go over the hill, they'll slip in the provision that a foreign-born can be president of the United States and watch them slide in Henry Kissinger. He controls all four networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN. And he is not only the media person, but he's the man behind it. As a matter of fact, when Reagan was talking about terrorism at the Bar Association, he throws in the name of Alexander Haig, who he fired for reasons involving terrorism and the invasion of Israel into Lebanon, that he gave them the green light. And he also favored the Argentine military dictatorship against the British in the Falkland War. He's now quoting and talking about Henry Kissinger in his speeches. Lawrence Eagleburger, U.S. News, this past week, July the 1st, he's a member, vice president of Kissinger Associates. He has a long article on striking the terrorists, bombing them, making war in the Middle East. That's what it would lead to. Henry Kissinger has syndicated columns, huge columns. I mean, a half a page or an entire page of the newspapers. This past week, he burst out with another one, the Los Angeles Times and the Washington Post, and goodness knows what other papers. These huge pages just gushing with Henry Kissinger philosophy. And remember, it was Kissinger who was sent by Ronald Reagan to decide on the bloodbath and the deathbath in all of Central America. Now, Henry Kissinger is on the board of the World Soccer Federation. He attended that Belgium game May 27, 1985, with Gianni Agnelli, the Fiat automobile manufacturer, who is an avid soccer fan. At that particular day, 38 people were killed, 400 were injured, 120 were hospitalized, but Henry was sitting in the audience. There were articles afterwards, I can't cite them all, one in the Washington Post, "Soccer Barbarism Shows Our Civilization is Cracking." The funny thing is it was written by Michael Novak, a knight of Malta, who doesn't object to terrorism of death squads, who sees that the soccer game is a clink or an opening to the civilization cracking, but hardly would you think by reading it that he's one of those people helping to crack it open. Another story sent to me from a subscriber of the broadcast in Kansas from the Kansas City Star, June 30th. New Nazis are behind soccer violence in Germany, and it tells about when they don't like the referees, they yell, dirty Jew, and it's Sieg Heil, and the German soccer game is a real Nazi spectacle. The Simon Wiesenthal Center had a letter from their attorney, Mr. Mendelssohn. This was April 1985 that went out with his mailing that England and the National Front is an assault of violence against the Jews, the National Front Party. And I have about six articles from London and the London Times that members of the National Front were behind the violence that was taking place at the World Soccer Federation. And they've had other violence before, as I say, 38 killed, 400 injured, 120 hospitalized. Old Henry sitting right there watching it, coming from Germany, part of Kissinger Associates was formed in Great Britain with Lord Carrington, who is now the head of NATO. If that isn't violence and attending violence, passing himself as a Jew and watching the Sieg Heils and the Heil Hitlers and the Dirty Jew chant at the game and watching the assault at that particular affair, then writing large columns and not even calling attention to some of these world events while he inflates that giant, huge ego and the mass media buys it up. Now, another problem appeared in the news this week that is very important and significant. Some of you, if you saw, might have seen it, wondered what it was about. Edward J. Epstein is an author. I've always believed that he worked with the Central Intelligence Agency, but he did two books on the Kennedy assassination. One was called Inquest, that came out very early, challenging the Warren Commission, and the other one was on Lee Harvey Oswald. And other than that, he's written articles betraying, attacking people that went to see Jim Garrison, making fun of the researchers. He's no leftist. He's far right-wing, always under the nest of Reader's Digest and the CIA. In fact, it was Epstein who had an appointment with George de Morenschild the day that he, under mind control, blew his head off. He was the primary witness to the Kennedy assassination, in my mind, because of his associations and participation with Lee Harvey Oswald. And when the House Select Committee was to meet again on their $6 million investigation, and de Morenschild was to be interviewed on a particular day, he had been with Edward Epstein that day. So I'm giving you the background. I have no love for Edward Epstein. But Epstein surfaces at this time and period and accused the publishers, Knopf Publishers, of making a phony book. It's a bestseller list. It's up to about 8 or 10 on the bestseller list of Arkady Shevchenko's book. Hard to pronounce? Okay. And he says that that Soviet defector was lying about the book and that the CIA wrote a book along with this man who recently came out with a book on the KGB, and that he used this material and created his character, and that the book is false. He bragged about how he was a mole in the CIA, and that this particular book was false. Now, the part that worried me was that when the spokesman for Knopf was interviewed on all the wire services, their first reaction was, this is a quote from the person, Ashbel Green of Knopf Publishers, KNOPF. They said, my first reaction was I had to be skeptical right from the beginning because of the person who wrote the article. He's a well-known conspiracy theorist. Now, that isn't a lone opinion, but those of us who challenge the government, who challenge those massive lies of who killed Kennedy, become not only conspiracy theorists, but people that you can't trust. As long as Epstein wrote a book, Legend, The Secret History of Lee Harvey Oswald, which raises questions about a defector he questioned himself, or Inquest, she said that you have to stay away from that idea. Now, a friend who gets these broadcasts told me a story this week. I can't give you the names because I didn't get permission to do it. Maybe he'll give it to me. Of a well-known director of movies, a leftist director, so-called, whose alignment has always been with the left, not like Edward Epstein, who notably has always been with the right wing. And he sent him a tape that I did on Joseph Mengele a couple of weeks ago. Now, there's nothing political in those facts or information about Joseph Mengele. And he called this particular person and said, what do you think of it? And his criticism was, she has the Communist Party line. Now, I haven't seen a thing about Joseph Mengele, whether he's alive or dead, from the Communist Party. The Soviet Union has been amazingly quiet about the Kennedy assassination or the role of Marina Oswald or the Minsk radio factory. So here is somebody saying that to criticize the conclusion or the findings that Joseph Mengele possibly isn't dead because there isn't a trace of physical evidence to Joseph Mengele at all. Pictures and diaries up to 1979, but no proof of his death. Even those x-rays that were sent from Germany were not x-rays. The teeth drawings were simply drawings, and I'll do more on the evidence later. Now, that isn't a Soviet line. I've always said, if you count the bullets in the Ambassador Hotel, if Sirhan has a gun that shoots 8 and the police department have 10, You are not necessarily a Soviet sympathizer if you call attention that the Los Angeles Police Department and the chief of police and the district attorney there are telling lies, because eventually the chief of police, Ed Davis, became a senator in California, and now he's talking about running a United States Senate seat to put Mr. Cranston out, Senator Cranston. And Evel Younger, the DA, went on to be the California Attorney General, and he's waiting for a Supreme Court appointment or an FBI, chief of FBI appointment. He's sitting around waiting for some big appointment. This thinking that to criticize your government, you are a communist, or to question the Warren Commission makes you a suspect to have any opinions or critiques about anything going on in this country is absolutely horrendous. And I want to stress the importance of that, because this kind of mentality is going to mean that anyone who's had an association with questioning the government is therefore suspect themselves. You can see how dangerous and how far those implications can go. Now, talking about violence and terror, the president is referring to terror abroad, five particular countries or states. There's a new company opening up in California called Warrior Incorporated. Warrior Incorporated is going to be run by Dale Dye. Dale Dye is one of the executives of Soldier of Fortune magazine, and he works, his cohorts there are people like John Singlaub, Brigadier General Heine Adderholt, the people funding the Contras. And he's going to consult with movies. Soldier of Fortune helped make the movie Red Dawn. That was made by MGM, and Alexander Haig is on the board of MGM. And it was played at the White House to thunderous applause, and Rambo was played this last week, of course, to a lot of applause. Now, Rambo's going to have clones, according to this story in the LA Times, and Mr. Dye doesn't like the way Sylvester Stallone held the weapon in his hand. It wasn't quite accurate. And what they want to do, according to this article in the Times, is teach the proper use of weapons and how to put them exactly as they are on the film. So what you're getting is not having to go to these commando schools, but learning that over and over again. And if you don't think that's a problem, keep in mind the fact that Rambo made $80 million in movie sales this summer, the first 3 weeks of summer. Mr. Dye said that his experience in Vietnam, 2 terms, and as a captain in Lebanon in the Marine, that he faced some tough adversaries, and that by opening Warrior Incorporated, he can help Hollywood duplicate a battlefield, and he wants to do that. So as an executive of Soldier of Fortune, he's leaving them now, in quotes, leaving them, but John Singlaub, who set up Soldier of Fortune, also set up a $100,000 computer that the Los Angeles Police Department could feed information to on law-abiding citizens. So being in L.A. isn't far from John Singlaub's Western goals. And Mr. Dye will be in Hollywood as a consulting firm on the way that Hollywood should separate their gross, unintentional errors about combat. He said Stallone some of it was technically good, but when he fired an LAAW, a light anti-tank assault weapon, from the helicopter, it had a back blast, and it would have incinerated the POWs in the chopper. So he's going to make it right. The Warriors Incorporated starts July the 8th with a movie by Tobe Hooper, H-O-O-P-E-R. They're going to remake The Invaders from Mars, but this time it will be the Marines fighting the Martians, and he's going to show what real Marines will do. So from going to boot camp to the screen, he will be the authentic advisor. So what you see is what you get, and what you get is going to be in your heads and our heads as time goes on. America can't keep showing this to these bloodthirsty people and run out of countries when they run out of El Salvador and Guatemala and Nicaragua and take all of the Central American countries. Nothing much is left except America. I wrote about Robert Brown in the Rebel article again on John Kennedy's assassination. He's the publisher of Fortune magazine, and this Mr. Dye is the co-editor of Fortune magazine, who's going to open Warriors Incorporated. And I talked about the relationship of Robert Brown to the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. So again, the assassins, the assassination teams are back in the news and will be until somebody wakes up and understands what's happening. We'll take a 1 minute break now and go back to some more USA Today. This is the way it really is.